Blog Talk Radio.
This is Billy Miller, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hey, I'm Eden Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Good evening, everyone. Today is May 21st, 2008, and you are tuned into Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. I am your host, Joanne. Desiree and Jenna are all partying, celebrating the winner of American Idol somewhere. So we want to remind everyone, though, to make sure that you rate our show after it's over. It definitely helps us stay on the air, and as always, log into the chat room. The call-in number is 347-945-5423. And also, a little reminder, make sure everyone tunes in tomorrow night as well, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will have Sydney Penny on our show, and it's kind of like a little farewell for her, so let's make sure everybody turns out for that one. That all being said, let us slip right on into what we got going on tonight. The beautiful lady we have on with us tonight is just real daytime royalty. She is an eight-time Daytime Emmy nominee. She's an Emmy Award-winning actress, and we all know her as Brooke English from All My Children. But I just want everybody to welcome Ms. Julia Barr to Stardish Radio.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Oh, my God, Julia. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. That was a lovely introduction. I'm not sure I can live up
for
to that.
For a lovely lady.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, no problem, no problem. I'm very glad that you were able to come on with us tonight.
I'm very sorry about last week. It was not an emergency, but it's something that had to be taken care of. And anyway, I'm glad to be here and glad that we could reschedule.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I understand. I actually had another show like that last night. So
Oh, God.
It's not uncommon. it's not uncommon. Things happen, and that's what happens when you're dealing with live radio, you know?
Right. What do you do?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, actually.
And, no, I mean, what do you do when that happens?
All right. You know what? I just have fun with the people who are calling. You know, whoever's on hold, we sit and we talk and about whoever the person is supposed to be on the air.
Right.
I believe it was a woman named Audrey who I spoke to the day that you were going to be on. I kind of like kept her on the phone with me. She was part of the Bar Association.
Oh, yes, yes.
So she sat on the phone with me for almost the entire hour, and we just talked about
that was
you.
Very nice.
And,
yeah, that group of women particularly has been so lovely and so supportive for years and years and years and years. They're just terrific.
Yeah. We sat and talked, and last night I did the same thing. It was another actress, Alicia Lee Willis. She used to be on General Hospital, and she was doing episodes of the Showtime show The L Word.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
her manager didn't get her the correct information, so she ended up calling me at home like 11 minutes before the show was over and asked me if we can reschedule.
Well, I guess you just have to think on your feet when it happens, I guess, you know.
Yeah, you do. So, but I'm glad you were able to call in tonight.
Well, me too.
So, before I can go anywhere with this interview, I have to tell you, on May 1st, I had on a former castmate of yours, Eden Regal. And when she found out that you were going to be on, she told me to make sure that I gave you her love, and she said to say hello.
Oh, yeah, we miss. I mean, obviously, I'm not at the show anymore. But you know, when she left, people really missed her. You know, she has a very special place in people's hearts. She's just a sweetheart. She really is.
Yeah.
So if you ever talk to her again, because I don't really get much of a chance, you know, because she's on the West Coast primarily. So
right.
You can give her my best back.
Oh, I will. I converse with her through MySpace. She has a wonderful new project in the
internet project. Oh, I know. I'm actually aware of it. It looks Imaginary Bitches.
Yes,
right.
It's really pretty funny.
Yes, I saw one of the teasers for it, and it looks great. I haven't had a chance to see anything else, but
she's got, I think, up to the third episode up now.
Oh,
so,
okay. I'm gonna have to check it out again.
And then I had another one of your best friends on this morning, Jill Larson.
Oh, right. I actually spoke to Jill about an hour before because we're working on a project together too. So
yes. So yes, everybody misses you and loves you and sends their best.
Well, it always makes me feel very good to hear that.
Well, yeah. Well, this is what I want to get into before I do any questions or anything. I believe this is the girl that was on the phone with me the night and kind of stuck it out with me. Her name is Audrey. She called from a 212 number. Let me see if she's there. Audrey, is that you on the phone?
Yeah, it's me.
Well, you're on the phone with Jill Julia now.
Hey.
It's the day for Jays.
Yes.
Hi, Audrey. How are you?
I am doing good. I have not watched All My Children since, December 20th, 2006, your last day. And I have seen, like, bits and pieces, and I just don't recognize the program anymore. It's just so sad. I don't know.
How long have you watched the show, actually?
I had started... I got into it because my older brother, he's 12 years older than I am, he was dating a girl who was watching All My Children. And so I saw little bits and pieces of it as a child, but I didn't really start watching it full time until, oh gosh, like 89. So I watched from 89.
Right, so you had a long history with it, you know, and I think anybody who's had a long history with it, you know, hates to see things change so dramatically, which I think they have in a certain sense. But, you know, things do change. And
yeah, I mean, I see some of the, you know, when Angie and Jesse came back recently, I watched like half of an episode just to see what was going on. And even the characters that I knew and loved aren't like, I mean, I love Michael Knight as Tad. He's not acting the same anymore. It's just, I don't know.
It's hard. It's hard to keep a series of writers for over 30 years, do you know what I mean, who are as vested as the, you know, initial first groups. It's just, it's hard. It's hard for daytime. It's hard for nighttime to keep something. I mean, you know, if you look at nighttime even, you know, shows that have been running 6 or 7 years, you know, the writing does begin to change, you know, to a certain extent. But not that it makes anybody happy when they've really liked what they saw, but anyway, I was just I was saying to Joanne how the Bar Association has been some, you know, like the most loyal, supportive group I could possibly have imagined.
Well, but it was fun. It was like we had this mission, and it was, you know, it was just sort of, and you were so accessible, you know, accessible. I mean, whenever, I mean, you had, I don't know if I should say this, but you had lunch with a group of us.
Right.
I
wanted to sort of, you know, see you guys. And
no, we greatly appreciate the access that you, you know, allowed us. It was, you know, it was sort of, a lot of times you send, you know, letters and whatever to people. And, I mean, you sometimes you'll get, like, a nice acknowledgement back, but you went, like, far and beyond. So we greatly appreciated your, you know, your availability as well.
Well, you know, I feel when people are so supportive and, you know, it really is important, and certainly I think it's always made me feel, you know, very appreciated. So I guess it's just nice to show appreciation back.
I mean, I think back to the first time that I met you, I probably scared the crap out of you. It was a daytime image.
Oh.
I was a seat filler, and I came over at the end of the program.
Right.
I'm probably from some stalker, but I'm not.
No, I remember. I actually remember that.
I was two people away from you, and I'm like, I'm not letting this opportunity go by.
Mm-hmm.
But what's that? I heard that you said that you and Jill are working on a project. What's that about?
Well, I'm actually not yet at liberty to say, but in the very near future, we will be putting a lot of information out about it. But I think it's very interesting, and it's something that we hope also will be involved, you know, on the web. So I'm not trying to be, you know, secretive. It's just it's not yet ready to be talked about. So
right,
but it will be, and I will keep everybody apprised of as it moves forward.
Any chance that you'll be back on daytime?
I have no immediate plans for that, and I haven't heard of anybody who has immediate plans for me to do that. So, I mean, I've, you know, actually having done a show for, you know, over 30 years, and you know, having a wonderful time, I'm actually had... You know, I was ready to sort of, you know, go in an entirely different direction for a while, you know?
Yeah.
So I have no immediate plans. That's not to say if something wonderful came along, you know, that I wouldn't. I just
right.
Don't, yeah.
Well, that falls on the heels of a question that I did have for you. This afternoon on the Newswire, it came across that James Harmon Brown and Barbara Esenstein have been fired. As head writers at
Yeah.
All My Children.
I just heard about that.
Yeah, and Charles Pratt Jr. took over.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. You know, it's you never know, and you know, when somebody comes in new, what it's going to be like.
Right.
And I think writers are always the first ones to be the ones. The things that they change if they feel that things aren't working. They're not necessarily always responsible, but they're pretty much
right.
The ones that take the brunt of it.
Yeah.
You know,
because yeah,
decisions are really made above them a lot of times.
Right.
As to, you know, what gets written and things like that. So.
Well, as I was talking to Jill this morning, she had said also that Brian Fonz actually said made a statement in one of the soap rags about how he made a very grave mistake regarding the Dixie disappearing and the way all that ended, and they were really trying to revamp everything and make the viewers happy. And I can't think of anything more to make a viewer happy is to bring back the core of the show, which are the vets, which is you, and, you know, to give Jill more airtime and James Mitchell, and you know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Well, whatever they've been doing hasn't seemed to work.
No, not at all.
So... You know, that's the only thing that you can definitely say is that their choices in the last couple of years have not worked. So what would work at this point, it's, you know, you never know exactly 100%, but I do think that in order for a show to really work, I think you always have to respect its history, because by doing that, you're also... You know, you have things that are intrinsic to the show, and you're also respecting the viewers, you know, who have, because of their loyalty, have provided shows with with a long life. And if you stop respecting that, or stop, you know, having that be a part of what you do, I think what you see is, you know, a lot of story that doesn't make any sense, that's not connected, and, you know, and once people are disconnected from a show, they don't necessarily have a loyalty to it anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
I mean, I see where they were trying to go with bringing back Debbie Morgan and Darnell Williams, and now Lawrence Lowe is back, but it's still not enough.
Well, it has to be connected. You know,
right.
You just can't do it. You just can't go, oh, well, now we're going to do this or now we're going to do that. It has to have real investment in, and it has to have knowledge about the show. You know, bringing people back is is nice, but you have to know why you're bringing them back, really, you know?
Right. I totally agree with you there. So let me move on to another caller. Audrey, I'm just going to keep you on, okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's go to area code 281.
Hi. How are you?
Hello, who's this?
Veronica, I'm from Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas?
Yes.
I have relatives in Houston, Texas.
Oh, really? That's
cool.
I just wanted to say I am a huge fan of your work. Me and my mom, we just love the character of Brooke. And, you know,
you.
I missed you on all my children.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. I always appreciate hearing that. And, you know, it was a great show. I loved doing it.
You know, it's just I'm just so disappointed that, you know, that I wish, you know, Brooke was still, your character Brooke was on there. You know, you guys deserve more airtime on the show, and you're just awesome.
Well, thank you. I have no complaints about, you know, as far as my entire history on the show, because I was on for 30 years and,
yes,
you know, it was great. But I know it was very unsatisfying for people the way the character left, you know. But
yeah,
sometimes there's, you know, you don't really have control over that. And,
yeah,
you know, I sometimes, you know, I you don't like to see people who've watched the show for a long time to sort of be disenchanted. Do you know what I mean? For
yeah,
any
oh,
reason.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And, you know, I think people who've been on the show, you know, are disenchanted by what has happened with
it. It's just that, you know, sometimes the storylines, you know, me as a fan, I love soaps all the time, and I'm only 22 years old, and some of the stories, you know, they're just kind of confusing sometimes. We as the fans, we don't understand what's going on.
Well, it's not an easy job, you know, to write a show, especially when it's a show that's been on for over 30 years, you know, where you're continually having to go forward and move storyline and, you know, do different things with characters,
mm-hmm,
you know. So it's not easy, but it's one of the things where you have to have a real commitment to what the show is, you know, and to who your audience is.
Oh, yes.
So, you know,
You're my favorite actress, and I just miss your character on the show, and you're awesome.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's very nice of you to say that, and I appreciate hearing it. I really do, and hopefully in the not-too-distant future, you'll see something else that I'm going to be involved in.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm not at liberty to say at the moment, but
when
I'm
she's
able
ready,
to...
she'll come back on Star Dish and we'll dish all about
yes,
it.
Oh,
I'll
I can't
back
wait. Oh, and I can't
yeah,
wait.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank
bye,
you.
Veronica.
Bye.
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 So, all right. Now, let's see. As far as All My Children goes, just a little history, like for you. You and Susan Lucci shared so many memorable storylines, and what would you say is your favorite on screen with Susan?
Oh, Lord. We had I'm trying to think. I don't even remember how long ago this was. I think Jean Leclerc was on, who played, oh, my God, he was the French guy. Anyway.
Oh, Jeremy, yeah.
Jeremy, thank you. God, you know, it's like, oh.
I had to think
it's
about
it. It's all disappearing. No, we were flying somewhere, you know, the characters of Brooke and Erica in Adam's
right.
jet, and for some reason we had to land in the middle of the jungle or somewhere that was remote, and I think it's how they actually introduced Michael Tylo. I don't know if you remember, he was a friend of Jeremy's. They'd been... mercenaries or something together.
Yes.
But we were going to land, and it was emergency landing, and the scene was that Erica was getting very upset, and it was written, scripted, that, you know, Brooke slaps her to went, I said I'm probably one of the few people who've ever gotten a chance to, you know, slap Erica.
Crack
and then
Erica.
Once we were together, you know, I mean, our two personalities are so disparate in certain ways, and, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum that.
Right.
I remember we were, you know, sort of lost in this jungle hut for, like, you know, days, and the two of us going at each other. I mean, I've always liked working with Susan. I just, you know,
right.
We just immediately have this thing that happens when we, you know, when the cameras roll. And
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's always been fun. It always
right.
has.
So out of all the husbands Brooke had, who would you say was your favorite?
Adam.
Oh,
mine
I agree.
Too.
I agree.
I'm glad you
too.
Said that.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, they're like, what would you, they're
oil
like.
Oil and vinegar.
Well, yes, but they're like, they're like fire and air, you know, they fan each other's flame.
Mm-hmm, that's a good
mm-hmm.
description.
So yeah, and also, you know, I mean, there are certain people that you just have chemistry with that just
right.
So you don't really have to even think about that, you know. You just have to think about what you're doing in a scene, and you know it's all going to come together. I mean, you know, so I mean, with David Canary, obviously, as Adam, that it was a joy. It was always, I mean, you know, it's like I have so many great memories of, like, so many wonderful scenes and storylines with David, you know, from where, like, as our producer said, this is going to be the slap heard around the world when I found out that Dixie was pregnant with his child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were going to adopt, and he said, well, you know, why can't we adopt Dixie's child? And I said, okay, and then I found out that it was his. As opposed to some boyfriends who'd run away. And
right.
I let him have it and took all of his money in a divorce settlement. Anyway.
he deserved it.
Yeah. But, and then I had to say, even though we were only married for a day, the men who my character got to interact with, I could not have asked for a better group. I mean,
mm-hmm.
from Michael Knight to John Callahan, you know, to Dick
right.
Schoberg, to David Canary as the main, you know, the main four.
Right.
I just could not have asked, you know, not in as characters together and as actors in real life and the people that they are, you know.
Right.
It was just a wonderful experience.
Do you ever?
Yeah, I think that Adam was the best choice there myself. I love the dynamic you two had on screen.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, they it's like you can't live with each other and you can't live without each other, you know?
Right.
It's sort of that kind of thing, and it made for fireworks most of the time. So
yeah, and you've kind of like evened each other out, you know? I mean, Brooke always had that little bad side to her, and,
right.
and when she was with Adam, you know, it surfaced sometimes, but she also put him in his place.
Right.
So it was a good combo.
Well, it was nice because as far as, you know, I mean, Brooke was sort of a bad girl when she was young, but, you know, as she grew older, she sort of matured and, you know, was a lot more responsible and you know, was really more sort of down to earth. But what would happen with Adam is that other side of her was able to come out.
Right.
Which, as an actor, to me, that was always great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this sort of snippy, stubborn, you know, tell it like it is. And, you know, I liked that part that was brought out, you know, by Adam's character.
Right.
What sort of gave Adam a human side, like gave him depth, you know, because he, without Brooke, Adam was this manipulative business guy trying to manipulate other people, but Brooke sort of brought him back, sort of get back to his, kept him in touch with his human side.
Yeah, I think that's true. Definitely. But, you know, I mean, I think that's why characters work together, because mm-hmm. you see things in both of them that are either nicer or interesting. You know, maybe they're not always great, but that they, that it's, it, you know, it's a spark of something that you don't get unless the two of them are together.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a question, Dawn.
All right.
This is what I want to
okay.
know.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll ask you a question. Now, I ask all the guests this question, and you, there's going to be an animated soap created. It's all hypothetical, of course.
Mm-hmm.
An
mm-hmm.
animated soap created, and you are the lead in the soap. Now, you have the power to assign cartoon characters to each of your cast members. Your cast will consist of David Canary,
mm-hmm.
Susan Lucci, John Callahan, Jill Larson, and Michael Knight. So who would you play as the lead character? What cartoon character would you be? And what cartoon character would you assign based on their personalities to your cast?
An existing cartoon, you mean?
Yeah, or it could be any cartoon.
Oh, God.
Can I tell you what Jill Larson said this morning about
yes.
you?
Yeah. Charlie Brown and
wanted
I
wanted to see the bad girl.
she went
casted
what?
She casted herself as Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
From Roger Rabbit.
Oh, interesting.
And she casted Susan Lucci as the maid. And said that you had to be the other bad girl in town. You know, she didn't really pick a character.
Right.
She just said how she would want you to be, that you would have to be the other bad girl. You know, like palling around with Jessica.
Right. I'm trying to think. I was thinking about, I don't know, do you watch Family Guy ever? It's absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
And I'm going, no, I don't think that quite works with any of us. Oh my God. Animation.
Oh, it could be a Disney character.
I was thinking
character.
Like the Lady and the Tramp.
I mean, you
know. Mm. How about the Lady and the Tramp?
Okay.
And we'll make I would be the lady.
Mm-hmm.
The Tramp would be probably either well, it could. Interestingly enough, they all have similar characteristics. It could be either one. It could be David or Michael,
uh-huh.
or John. I'm gonna cast John Callahan as the Tramp.
Okay.
Then we have the two Siamese cats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are Siamese. If you okay, I'm
yes.
gonna cast. I'm gonna cast Susan and Jill as the Siamese cats. And then, let me see, who does that leave? That leaves
just
whoever.
Michael.
All right.
And David.
No, Michael and David, okay. I think Michael could be the guy who runs the Italian restaurant who makes a little dinner for the dogs. And, oh, my God, then, wait a minute, and then, so who's David going to be?
Oh, gosh, let's see.
Oh, my God. Is there a policeman in there? I'm trying to think.
I can't think
of
it now.
So long. Well, all right, I got like five out of...
All right, that's okay. David will always have a part. That's all.
Yeah,
we
he'll
know.
Always have... We'll write a part in for him. He'll be like some fancy poodle that comes by or something. Okay. Oh, yikes.
That is too cute. Now, I try and do that with everybody. I think it's a little... It's
actually
a
cute.
To,
yeah. When you're on the spot, you go, oh, no, I can't think of anything, and they're going to think I'm absolutely dull.
Oh, we've had people cast their cast as Scooby-Doos and...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just anime cartoons and stuff like that. So anyway, now let's see. We can't really talk too much about the project that's coming up, but do you still... have you, your family and you made a CD a couple years ago for Christmas. Do you still sell that on your website or?
Well, actually, that was we offered it on the website for the Fund for Animals.
Right.
I was a spokesperson for
mm-hmm.
when we produced it. My husband did all of the music and all the arrangements, and we all actually were involved in it, including my daughter. And
mm-hmm.
all of the funds went to the Fund for Animals, but they actually offered it on their website. But
okay.
but that was, I think, it's probably going to be either 3 or 4 years ago in December. And they did it for 2 years, and they actually made about $40,000, which was very nice.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's no longer available at this point.
Okay.
I'm
is there any other charities that you're working with now that we can post on our websites and let other people know about?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I am sort of in the talking stages for a project with animals with a friend of mine, but that's also something that's just in the beginning talking stages that
right.
It's something that would involve, like I said, animals and
mm-hmm.
and their and well, people and their animal companions. So
okay.
But it's a little ways away from fruition, so that's about all I can say. I'm sorry,
okay,
I have all these
no,
little things
fine.
Going.
You know
oh
what?
Yes, and one day I'll tell you about it. No.
when all this stuff starts to come, we'll
oh, don't worry.
Make the and have
I'll
you
be
come
in contact
back
with everyone. Yes, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Course.
Now there was one thing during All My Children. You took a 15-month leave to tour with Katharine Hepburn.
Yes.
Tell us about that. How was that?
It was actually fantastic and a very unique and unforgettable experience. I was off the show for 15 months,
mm-hmm.
during which I traveled for 4 months with the West Side Waltz, which was the play that had been on Broadway with Katharine Hepburn and Dorothy Loudon. And
mm-hmm.
It went on tour to Boston and Chicago and Washington D.C. and I was
okay.
the standby for the role of the young girl.
Right.
So mostly I just had to be, you know, on call all the time. And
right.
But I was around backstage a great deal of the time, and you know, I would listen to Katharine. She had a driver, a chauffeur that she'd been with her for years and years and years, and they
mm-hmm.
would like sort of harass each other continually. It was hilarious. Like she would talk about some, you know, outfit that he was wearing, and he would like come back with some, you know, sort of smart aleck remark. But they had this great relationship, and like people would send her, you know, candy and cookies and cakes all the time, and she'd put everything backstage. And I don't know if you know Katharine Hepburn, you know, she always dressed very, you know, always with slacks, a lot of
yeah,
times, and a
yeah.
turtleneck.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always dressed sort of, you know, like that myself. And I had this little newsboy's hat, and I was walking across the stage, and she asked one of the people, she goes, "Who's that?" And I said, "Well, that's Julie Barr. She's the understudy for this role." And she goes, "Oh, she looks like a boy." And I went, it was so funny coming from her because, you know, she was always touted as looking, you know, like, because she always wore slacks. But
Right.
The last, before the last performance we did, they actually were thinking of doing this tour internationally, and the girl whose role I was understudying did not want to go on with the tour. So
mm-hmm.
They were interested in taking me, but they wanted me to audition with Katharine.
Oh,
so,
okay.
The morning of the day of the last show, she and I did two scenes, the two main scenes that two characters have from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, my God, my husband actually was in the audience. I mean, he was in the theater. Nobody else was there, and Kate wanted him thrown out, and the stage manager ran. She goes, "Well, if it's okay, Miss Hepburn, that's Miss Barr's husband. Is it okay if he can just watch?" She goes, oh, all right. So anyway, so we did these two scenes, and, you know, it was like she had never done it. It was like the first time, you know what I mean, even though she'd done this hundreds of times. And, you know, I said, you know, thank you very much, and, you know, this has been a wonderful experience. And she hugged me, and she knows, I know what it's like to wait.
Aww.
And it was just, you know, it's one of those things that you always remember.
Wow. Right. Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. It was.
You know, and especially coming from someone like her.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but I think, you know, I mean, and you know, she was a woman in a you know, a world where you have to sort of maintain a certain distance, I think, you know, from people. You know, she was a movie star.
Right.
And, I mean, the fact that she was so giving, you know, because I really didn't know her any other way than she was this, you know, very sort of brusque, you know, taciturn
right.
woman. But it she was just lovely. She couldn't have been more gracious. So
now, in the length of your career, is there any one person besides Catherine that stands out that you worked with that gave you like the best piece of advice, or was your favorite person to ever work with, or is there someone still out there that you would love to work with that you never had the opportunity to?
Well, there's a lot of people out there that I mean, you know, it's too many to name, but I mean, I have to actually, I guess, go back to my beginnings on the show and working mm-hmm. with Ruth Warrick.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Ruth Warrick, you know, came from movies and, you know, television, and all of a sudden, you know, here she's playing my aunt, and
mm-hmm.
She just, she was a very unique woman. You know,
right.
she had tremendous energy and tremendous passion, and but I always felt, you know, I mean, initially I was very much in awe of her and like sort of starstruck, but she was so, you know, open and available,
mm-hmm.
And that we really developed a closeness that. You know, I know we both felt when we worked together.
Right.
You know, she would when, especially when my daughter was much younger, she would,
right.
you know, at Christmas bring her, you know, some little presents like books. One time she brought her Big Bird, you know, like a talking
mm-hmm.
Big Bird
right.
when Allison was four. You know, and she, you know, she had these grand birthday parties, you know, that, you know, people would get invited to, and they were spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was larger than life.
Right.
And she just was, I don't know, it was a joy to work with her, and it was a joy to see somebody who could, you know, sort of, even when she got older, you
mm-hmm.
know, could, and was a little more frail, she could make something come off the page, you know?
Right. Right.
And make it into, you know, whatever she wanted to make it. And I just felt very grateful to have had such a long, you know, friendship and a long working relationship with her.
Right. Now, is there anyone else besides Jill on the show that you still keep in contact with? Or
yeah, I'm very good friends with, he hasn't been on the show for a number of years. He played the second Benny Sago. I don't know if you remember that character. He was the motorcycle guy that
yes.
when she came to live with Phoebe.
Yes, I can picture it in my head. I would have to look at it, but I can kind of picture
right.
it in
well,
my
he
head.
Became Phoebe's chauffeur, and they developed this fantastic, hilarious relationship. And the
mm-hmm.
original character was played by Larry Fleischman.
Okay.
And when Larry left, Vasily Bigazianos took over the role. And he's in L.A. He's been in L.A. He's done a lot of nighttime and theater and things. And he and I have stayed very good friends. He and his wife and my husband, you know, whenever they come into town, you know, we always try and do something together. And so he's the other, probably the other closest person, you know. Once in a great while, we'll do dinner, like maybe once a year, with David Canary and his wife. But that's mostly because, you know, he's, you know, got a completely different schedule. They, you know, live about 2 hours away from, you know, so just it's not as convenient to get together just logistically. But, you know, always been like a special guy. And then, of course, Bill, you know.
And his brother passed away.
I know. I didn't know his brother, and I guess he'd been ill for a little while. He was an older brother that passed away.
Yeah, I think he was like 73 or something like that. He actually died here. I'm in Florida, and he died here in Florida,
not far from where
I live.
Where you are. I didn't know where you were.
I'm in Florida. I'm from New York, but I live in Florida now. And my other co-hosts, one of them lives in California, and the other one lives in New York, but they did the whole American Idol party tonight, so.
I knew I would be seeing them. Huh?
Oh, no. I'm not into American Idol. I watch the news. That's how I know who wins. I don't really watch it. So.
Oh, okay. I don't either.
I'm not really, you know.
We watch Dancing with the Stars. We didn't watch all of every season, when it gets really good, we watch it.
Yeah, I like Dancing with the Stars, and that also really depends on who's on. I mean, I watched the first season when Kelly Monaco was on, and then I don't think I watched the next one. I think I watched the third or fourth one. Whenever Cameron was on, I watched it when Cameron was on.
Yeah, I think that was maybe the... Oh, God.
Yeah, and then this one I watched because Jason Taylor was on and, you know, being close to Miami, so I watched for that. But it really depends on who.
Yeah.
I like the dance shows better than the singing shows.
Well, me too.
I mean, they really, you know.
After a while, I feel like not that people aren't talented, but it sort of all begins to blend together, you know.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I admire the people that do the dancing because it is not, you know, just a sign.
Would you
up.
Ever consider doing Dancing with the Stars?
Are you kidding me?
Why not?
Because I'd probably kill myself.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm in pretty good shape, but I've had dancing, but not for years and years and years, so.
Oh, well, you know. You
no,
do
I don't think so. No.
We should start a writing campaign.
No.
She'll be like, damn, that Star Dish will never call in there again.
I could safely say no.
Your daughter has acted in a few things, Law and Order, which I saw that episode. And did you ever consider pairing up with her and doing something together acting-wise?
No, it's funny. She had asked me one time about, you know, would I ever consider, like, you know, producing something, you know, like off-Broadway or off-Broadway. And, you know, I mean, that's something that I've thought about off and on, but never, you know, seriously gone into it. But, you know, she's got sort of her own deal. I don't know if you know, she did Guiding Light for 6 months. About six years ago.
I read about that, but I never watched Guiding Light. But I did read about that.
Yeah, she played Lizzie. Oh my God, Lizzie, and because I'm not like I don't really even when I was working, even when I'm not at this point, I don't really get a chance to watch much daytime. And I am blanking on her name. Anyway. She was on for about 6 months, and she did a great job, and they wanted her to stay, but she was actually starting college. So she went away to college, and she's very much interested also in production, you know.
Right.
In theater production. So she's done some work with some of the off-Broadway theaters in the city. And this week she's actually, the next couple of weeks, she's actually helping out with some man on the street interviews for the Bravo channel. For
mm-hmm.
They're having their first A-list awards hosted by Kathy, you know, Kathy Griffith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. So anyway, they're doing all these man on the street interviews as a prelude to the award ceremony. And so she's been involved
with
helping set that up.
All right.
So she's doing a lot of things. She's very creative. She loves the theater. So, you know, I don't know whether she's going to be on stage or off stage or on camera or off camera, but she'll be doing something in that area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. We'll have to keep up with that.
Well,
also.
I just wanted to do something that she likes, you know.
Yeah.
Something
that makes her happy. They don't necessarily have to follow in the mom and dad's footsteps.
No, unless it's really what they, you know, want to do. I mean, I just think it's really important for them to find their, you know, their own, you know, identity and their whatever, you know, whatever satisfies them. Is the most important. You know, it's what I've always thought.
Yeah, well, I'm going through that with my teenager now. He's struggling to figure out what he's doing, and
well, teenager, that's young, you know, to actually.
Yeah, he's only 15, so he's got time, but he's like dead set on football. You know, he's of course like every 15-year-old boy, he's going to be a football player. But then, you know, we went and had our like little counseling thing and at school, and he brought in the spectrum and said, well, you know, I am kind of short. If I can't get into football, I'll do sports casting. So he went into communications and stuff like that. So I was happy about that.
And
you know,
never know. You know, sometimes you can graduate with something and go in a completely different direction, you know, like a fluke. You don't, you know, it's sort of a journey until, you know, till you get.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
To a certain
All right.
Place.
Julia, I have on a young lady. Her name is Maggie. She calls in all the shows. The other three shows that are on also on Blog Talk that do this kind of format. So I'm going to bring her on. She's been on hold for a few minutes.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay. Hi, Maggie. You're on the phone with Julia.
How are you?
Oh, hi, Maggie. How are you? I'm good. I've been talking Joanne's ear off.
Oh, absolutely not.
No, not.
What? I'm sorry?
No, I'm not talk to Joanne.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, I miss you on Mother's Day. I miss you.
Oh, well, thank you. I miss people on the show, too, but
yeah,
like I said...
I miss watching you.
Do you still watch the show?
Yes.
Yeah. Who's your favorite on the show now?
I don't really.
That's okay. Do you have a favorite?
I don't know.
you like them all.
Yeah. I like Maria.
Well, I thank you, and I appreciate your saying that.
Yeah, I really like Maria.
Oh,
Maria.
She's on, I think she's still on CSI, Miami,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Why Maria came up?
I'm sorry?
Why Maria came up? Why they came up?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
I can't answer that.
Maggie, you still there? I think we lost her.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, I do have Crystal from California. She's been on hold, so we'll bring Crystal in. Crystal, you're on the phone with Julia.
I'm here. Hi, Julia. How are you doing?
Hi, Crystal. How are you?
I'm just great. I'm
in California.
Southern California. In a little town called Canyon Lake, which is, in case you don't know where it is, you know where Temecula is by chance?
No, I don't.
Okay, if you halfway between, I always have to explain this to people, halfway between San Diego and Los Angeles, but east.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Like in the middle, but east, a little bit, probably about an hour east
southern,
from the coast.
You're Southern California.
Yeah,
yeah,
I sure am. So not too far. I'm about probably an hour and 15 minutes to L.A.
Oh, okay. I was in Southern California a couple of years ago with my husband. We were... we actually went to the San Diego Zoo, which was
nice.
Great. I've never been, and we did
a lot
tour.
Of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get to SeaWorld at all?
No, we did not.
No,
but
that's a good place to go if you come back.
We did a behind-the-scenes, like, little tour so that we actually got to feed some of the animals, like the giraffes and... five-year-old rhinoceros named Graham. Anyway,
cool.
It was fun.
That's neat. I love animals, too, so I'm right with you there.
I know. I do too. That's why we decided to do it.
Yeah, that's great.
Do you know
Rancho? I do a lot of work with therapy dogs and stuff.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I've got
wow.
two little therapy dogs myself. And
we're actually... I got all the literature on the international therapy dogs, and this summer we wanted to sort of get our dog in shape so that she could actually, you know, pass the exam that they take, you know, where they have to
mine passed. Yeah.
Obey certain commands. So that's great. That's something that I've been thinking about doing for a long time.
It's really fun. They do the canine good citizen test first, and then they add the rest of the therapy thing onto it.
Oh,
and it's,
okay.
There's a lot to do, and I'm telling you, when you're out there, you're hoping your dog does everything perfect. Your heart is in your throat.
Well,
it's so funny.
If they don't pass, then do they have to wait a certain amount of time to take it again?
They get to do one retest during the thing, but they have to wait for everybody to get through. But if they miss one station, that's it. They have to wait.
Oh, God.
So until another test comes up. And sometimes, it, you know, it takes a while before there's another test in your area, so.
Right, right. Yeah, I have all the literature, and I sort of went through some of the, you know, the things they have to be able to stay as you go away from them, and they have to be able to deal with, like, things that move around them, like if it would be a wheelchair or loud noises. Or,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
She's pretty steady, so I think.
Well, what kind
try.
Of dog?
She's a mixed breed. She's probably part German Shepherd and part Yellow Lab and maybe even some Husky. She's like about 80 pounds.
Ooh.
Very
okay.
sweet.
She should be pretty
sweet
stable.
Dog. Yeah, she's very
yeah.
stable. You know.
It's usually the little ones that don't want to hold still and listen very well in the beginning, and I've got two little ones. They don't like to lay down and hit their bellies on the grass or anything. They're like, oh, this is beneath me. I want a blanket.
Oh.
So you have to get them to really listen, and it's a challenge, but we made it happen.
Well, it's definitely, I think, a worthwhile thing to do, you know.
Yeah, it's good. We're going to go into abused women and children shelters.
Oh.
And work with autistic children. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so that's
very,
our
yeah.
little dog thing. I was going to say, I met you at Super Soap Southern California, well, at Cal Adventure. That's
oh,
when
my
I
God.
First met you, a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, my God, when was that, 6 years ago? Long
I don't even remember what year it was.
I think Jill was there that year, too.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do remember what you said to me. I remember what I was wearing, and I remember what you said to me. I said, I started to say, I've been watching all my children since, and then you finished the end of the sentence for me, and you said, since the beginning of time. And I was like, yeah, well, that too.
Was I being a smart aleck? No.
I thought it was funny because I was a little nervous. So that was my beginning of meeting actors and stuff, and I'm not nervous anymore, but in those days I was, and I was like, hesitating, and you finished my sentence.
Oh. Well, I think
but bottom line,
everybody tries to be sort of make put people at ease in that situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
yeah, make a joke.
Yeah.
It always works.
You know, because you know that it's, you know, it's sort of, not the most comfortable thing to, you know, like sort of come up to somebody that you don't really know in person and, you know, just start.
It doesn't faze me in the least anymore.
So
you're funny.
You've become desensitized, I think. No.
That's it, something like that. But I've watched all my children since the first show. I just want to let you know that. I've been a big fan.
Almost 38 years, I guess, 39.
Julia, have you ever had a crazy fan encounter?
Not really. Not in terms of fan. I mean, you know, I remember years and years ago, I actually, when I was living in Manhattan and I was taking a subway to work, and there was a young woman on the subway who got so excited, like I didn't know exactly what she was going to do. So I got off about 2 miles from my actual stop because I went, this is my stop. I'll see you. She was just so excited. It was almost like out of control. So I thought I should just remove myself from the situation. But I've never had anybody who was really, really crazy. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Where you're like, well, you know,
scared.
Where they're stalking you or they're scared or they're, you know, out of control. No.
Oh,
you
well,
know?
That's good to know.
Not like,
to know, because I think they kind of changed up till these days. We've heard some pretty crazy stories.
Really?
You mean
recently or a long?
I had on the show a couple weeks ago Jean-Paul Lavoisier, who plays Rex Balsam on One Life to Live.
Yeah.
And he told me about a guy who found his phone number somehow and called him and just sat there talking to him. And he was like, well, how did you get my number? And he's like, oh, I just Googled you and found you. And, yeah, I know where you live and, you know, that kind of thing. And
that's
he was
creepy.
Like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
So he said that he was just very cordial and kind of, like, got off the phone. And then he said 6 months later, this guy called back. And he's like, I'm here for our biannual call. Like, okay,
it's interesting that he didn't change his number, you know.
Yeah, well, he told me he ended up just, like, disconnecting the home phone and just, he's got a cell phone, that's it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Well,
you know, that's like anybody invading your privacy, which is what it is, even whether you're on TV or whatever, you know.
Yeah, he was calling him, talking to him about the storyline, and then we had Carolyn Hennessy from General Hospital. She told us about this woman from New Jersey that saw her in a grocery store and followed around the grocery store. Are you really going to get that kind of soda? Are you kidding me? You really think you need that kind of soda? And, I mean, just critiqued her whole shopping list.
Really?
Through the whole store.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay.
That's one way to break into a conversation.
I guess so.
You know, I guess just...
But, I don't know, but before I let anybody do anything here, I have 2 minutes live on the air left, so I want Julia to do a promo for me, if she would.
Sure.
Before I go off live. I mean, we'll still be streaming, and if you want to stay on for a few more minutes, you can.
Okay.
So if you want, just whatever, whenever you're ready, darling.
All right. What do you want me to say?
Just, this is Julia Barr on Stardust Radio, however you want to make it, you know.
Oh, okay. On the And, like, say it's on, are you on, like, every night at 10 o'clock?
No, you know what, it depends on the guests. So it's just, you know, we're supposed to be Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays, but lately I've been doing Monday through Friday, so it doesn't even pay to put a time down anymore.
Oh, all right. Well,
so,
that's nice.
You know,
I'm glad you're so busy.
Yeah, it is. It keeps me busy. I love it.
All right, so should I just do
So you can just
thing?
Say, this is Julia Barr on Stardust Radio or, you know, something like that.
Okay, well, that's exactly what I'll say. I'm terrible doing promos, but I'll just...
Oh, that's okay.
All right, so any time?
Go ahead, whenever you're ready.
All right. Hi, this is Julia Barr on Stardust Radio.
Wonderful. That's perfect. But, yeah, so, no, you know, I have so many different... people that, you know, well, they need this time, they need that time, and thank God, you know, with the flexibility of the network, I can pretty much schedule the show however I want to. I choose 10 o'clock because my children are in bed, and it gives me time to do my research and stuff.
Right,
during
yeah.
the day,
well, it's sort of
you know.
Nice that you can do that, though, you know?
Yeah, yeah. so
how long have you actually had this show?
I started it on April 1st.
Oh.
It was my first show.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you luck with it.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that. I'm really I've had a lot of people from General Hospital, and I'm trying to break all my children barrier. They're not too kind over there as far as granting interviews, so I have to kind of like go the back route.
Well, I don't think that's so unusual over there.
Yeah, well, I found that out the hard way. I got the door slammed in my face. I can't tell you how many times already. But at the same time, I really didn't need them because most of the people that I wanted to get an interview with, I just went directly to their own managers and ended up getting them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just all my children. It was One Life to Live, and it was also General Hospital. All three of them did the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's all right. I'm not worried about it. But, yeah, I mean, I stay home. You know, my kids are in school, and I do this, and it keeps me busy. And it's a good hobby for me. You know,
were you always interested in daytime, and did you always watch daytime, or you just thought this would be an interesting thing to do?
No, I did watch daytime from way back as far as I can remember, like with my grandmothers, both of them.
Yeah.
And they both watched the same shows, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom with five kids, and she watched the same shows, and
when it used to be more generational. I know, because my mom used to watch, I think, Search for Tomorrow was her big show.
Right. We used to watch All My Children. We used to watch The Edge of Night. We actually had a family friend on The Edge of Night, Terry Davis. I can't think of the name of the character she played, but she was on there, so we used to watch that. And I mean, we watched all of them. But, I mean, as I got older and in school and working and all that, I kind of dwindled off of them. But I always kept an eye out what was going on.
Yeah.
And then I'm 38 now, 32 years old, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh.
And it was kind of aggressive, so it warranted a lot of hospital stays for me.
Yeah.
So I got back into them like full force, you know. I mean, just you're in the hospital bed 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, not much else to do. So
right.
I got back into the soaps.
Right.
And I went through like this little thing of depression, and the doctor's like, you know, Joanne, you really need to get yourself a computer and a laptop and keep yourself so busy with the internet to start doing stuff. And I did. And then, you know, I never knew of Super Soap Weekend or any of that stuff. And I think it was after three years of treatment of chemotherapy,
I had
to go for a bone marrow transplant. Because it went away and then it came back, and then I had to go do a bone marrow transplant. And it was, I think, maybe like 3 or 4 months after that transplant, I was watching television, and I seen down here on the local ABC affiliate that they were having this ABC Fun in the Sun thing. So a girlfriend of mine, you know, we decided to drive down to Miami to see what it was all about. And ever since then, we've been, like, attending Super Soap. We do it, like, this will be, like, our fourth year going.
Right.
So when I found the Blog Talk Radio and I saw the different formats, you know, that were on it, I actually spoke to you on one of the other shows. Remember that show that you were on where Sonia Eddy called in from General Hospital?
Oh, yes. That was funny.
I had spoken to you that day, yes.
Oh, okay.
On that
All right.
show.
Yes.
So I was listening to those types of shows, and I said, you know, there's no reason why I can't do this. So I went to college for broadcasting.
Oh,
so
there you go.
You know, yeah, so I figured, you know, let me just see what I can do with this and see how I can make it into something again. And, you know, I'm still going through my little, I mean, thank God I'm in remission, but, you know, there's a lot of side effects that come with that bone marrow transplant that people
talk about. How long ago did you do that?
2 years ago.
Well, so you've been through a lot.
Oh, yeah, I did. The first set of chemo that I did was what they call a cocktail, and it was a trial-based thing. So I did it for 6 months, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And
Whoa.
Then even after I would finish my chemo and I would come home, my blood levels would just drop to absolutely nothing, and I'd end up right back in the hospital.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was like, why bother? I think maybe I was home for maybe about a week, a month, for 6 months.
Wow, who took care of your children during all of this?
My parents and my sister, and I had family that flew down from New York, and, you know, between everybody, you know, everybody chipped in and did their thing, and, you know, my youngest was 2, and my other one was, Christian was, what, 10, I think? Yeah, he was 10, and Tyler was 2. So, yeah, it was hard, but, you know, I'm in remission, and this just... There's a lot of side effects that come along with it that prevent me from going back into a regular workforce job.
Yeah.
And they told me that there's so many more to come that I'll probably never know about right away because of all the poison that they dumped in my body.
Yeah.
And so this keeps me busy. It feels like I'm actually being productive, you know, and it's something that I love. So.
Well,
between the radio,
you know,
and the soap.
Sometimes you never know with. You know, things that seemed completely negative, you know.
Right.
It sometimes opens things up, not that you necessarily want to happen because of that.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes they do, and you know, it turns out to be a venture that you never would have, you know, thought about. Or
exactly.
Something that's very satisfying and interesting and, you know, and... So I hope things continue to be okay for you.
Oh yeah, I have no doubts about it. I mean, if that's one thing that I've learned throughout these last few years of my life is that everything happens for a reason, and it just everything seems to start falling into place. And you know, for whatever reason I got it, I did, because I have no history of cancer in my family at all.
Yikes.
You know, and it just kind of happened and. There's no explanation for it. There's no, with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, there's no rhyme or reason to it. They classify it as an immune disorder, an immune type of cancer. And one day I woke up and my face was the size of a friggin' basketball and nobody knew what was wrong with me. They were sending me to dermatologists and it turned out it was a 10-centimeter tumor crushing the main vein into my heart. It was cutting off the blood supply.
Oh,
and it took them like 3 weeks to diagnose it. So, I mean, for whatever reason.
For that period of time.
It was, you know, because they had me on steroids. And, you know, you think, you know, it's just some kind of allergic reaction. I had 2 cats. I got rid of the cats. I ripped up the rugs. I got new furniture, well, new pillows. And, you know, I mean, they swore I was just allergic to something. And then one day. I went to the emergency room because it just got worse and worse and worse. And, like, my eyes you looked like little slits you couldn't even see.
Wow.
And I said, I'm not leaving this emergency room until somebody pulls a chest X-ray and a CAT scan or whatever. Until that happens, I'm not leaving. You'll have to throw me on the street because I won't leave. And they did it. And, of course, there was nobody there that night to read it. So the next morning they called me and told me, you know, I needed to come back. But that was like 3 weeks in the making, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I was all at the time. I was all woe is me. But it things happen for a reason. I was meant to go through that for some reason. It made me stronger, and you know, made me appreciate my life a little bit more, and my children, and family, and all that stuff. And you know, so I mean, I don't regret going through it.
Well. You know, sometimes when there is no choice about things,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you find out a lot about yourself that things you wouldn't have found out before. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
What you're capable of and what your strengths are, you know, and what
mm-hmm.
what your weaknesses are and what you know, it sometimes clarifies the world in a way that you didn't know before. You know,
right.
Not that, like I said, nobody necessarily wants to have that happen like that, but
right,
there are things
right.
that happen as a result that you would not have been, it wouldn't have been part of you, you know?
Exactly, and I'll
anyway,
tell you, you know what I walked
actually,
away with?
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, you know what a skill I walked away with was learning how to make wigs.
Well,
I became very versatile in the extension and wig world.
Well, that's not, you know, I mean, hey. That's a valid, you know, and viable skill.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have to go, but it's been very nice talking to you, and really I wish you all the best.
Oh, Julia, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on Stardish.
Tell Sydney Penny when you speak to her, I said hello, and how's that new baby?
Oh, I definitely will, definitely will.
I
when you're ready
not
to
so
start
new. I think he's probably a year already.
Yeah,
she.
I think so. And
yeah.
Then when you're ready to start talking about your other stuff, let me know, and we'll
with
you and Phil. Okay?
I definitely will, yes.
All right,
darling.
Have a great night.
All right, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.